Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. So in this episode, I'm going to touch on intra-workout nutrition. So intra-workout is simply the nutrition during your session, intra meaning during, which is next up in the peri-workout nutrition series. So in terms of some key considerations we want to make intra-workout or during our session, is first of all sustaining good energy levels for throughout the session, maintaining appropriate hydration, staying in an anabolic position to build muscle, and lastly, maximizing performance. And the first area I'm going to touch on is going to be your hydration. So your hydration, as I touched on in the prior episode, if you've not watched the pre-workout nutrition episode, I recommend first of all doing so because it will tie in nicely to this. So your hydration is simply a combination of how much water you're consuming and how much electrolytes you're consuming. And in terms of how much water we want to be consuming in the intra-workout window or during our session, this will depend on a few factors like the length of the session, the climate we're training in, or the temperature of the gym, basically the amount of sweat we're also expending. And the reason being is obviously if you're in like a really warm climate in Spain, you're sweating a ton, your need to drink more fluids is going to be greater than if you're in like a cold gym that's like a unit in the UK in winter time. Because if you train at a gym that is like the one I just touched on, you'll know it's not very warm in there. So it'll depend on a few factors and also the size of the individual. Someone who's let's say 40 kilograms doesn't need the same amount of kind of water and electrolytes as someone who's maybe 100 kilograms. And in this period, we're not aiming to hydrate. Ideally, we'll be hydrated prior to the session. During it's more so maintaining good hydration if we fueled for the session effectively. And if I had to give like a recommendation, around about 250 to 500 mil per half an hour isn't a bad place to be in terms of how much water you're consuming. Personally, for myself, I'll have 1.5 liters of water throughout my session. I'll just keep it the same throughout every session. I just like having the same amount every single day. However, if I do have like 1.5 liters, typically I'll finish it a bit sooner when it's my leg session or a longer session, and then I won't quite finish it as fast if it's like a push day, for example. That's a bit of a shorter session. I'll finish it more closer to the end. And as for your water intake, that's covered. But what I'd say is like, people like adapt to a certain amount of water, meaning if let's say you're used to drinking a lot of water, then you're probably fine having a bit more during. However, if you're not used to drinking a ton of water, then you don't want to just increase it suddenly out of nowhere, if that makes sense. Because your body gets used to drinking a certain amount of water and you'll urinate at like a pace that will be according to that, if that makes sense. And as for electrolytes, so electrolytes will contribute towards our hydration. So that's something we can also consider when it comes to our intra-workout drink. And with electrolytes, if you are having plenty of salt or electrolytes pre and post-workout, you don't necessarily need to have electrolytes during. Again, if we've hydrated ourselves effectively before, it is a case of more so maintaining it during. But I personally will have electrolytes towards summer through having salt or electrolyte powder, just to act as a good insurance policy when I'm sweating a bit more than usual and maybe taking in a bit more fluids than usual when it is a bit warmer. And if you want to be really strategic when it comes to how much water you should be drinking during your session, is you can weigh yourself before and also after. Obviously, you'd want to do so in or without clothing, because if you weigh yourself and then you weigh yourself after, and you've sweated a lot and your clothes are really sweaty and holding on to water, then that's going to influence your body weight. So you could actually weigh yourself before and after, see what the difference is in body weight. If you're down excessively in body weight after your session, after consuming your fluids, but your body weight's still quite low, then you've probably not maintained your hydration effectively. So that's something to consider. And next up's going to be maintaining energy. So in terms of how we maintain our energy, we know our main source of energy is going to be carbohydrates, whereas fats and protein aren't an efficient energy source. So we can consume our carbohydrate powder as a result intra-workout to help replenish the glycogen we're losing throughout the session and maintain steady blood glucose levels and keep our energy levels up pretty much, and therefore our performance up. And you will have different types of carbohydrate powders you can use, one of them being highly branched cyclic dextrin, which is something I use. And the beauty of this carbohydrate powder is it will release and give you like a gradual sustained release of energy nice and slowly, so it won't cause a big spike and then drop in your blood sugar levels. And it's also got a low osmolarity rate, which means it clears the digestive tract quickly. It doesn't pull a lot of blood and water into the stomach for digestion, which we don't want throughout the session, because we want to be able to have the blood and the water kind of trickle to the muscles, and we don't want to have to digest anything throughout the session or have anything that's going to cause digestive distress. And in terms of when I'd recommend using a carbohydrate powder, I'll use it year round when I'm dieting or when I'm gaining, because again, it helps me sustain good performance levels, especially when I'm in a dieting phase and my food's lower. Although it's not as enjoyable consuming my calories through carbs, through liquid carbs during my session, it does mean I'll have good performance, which is my priority. And I'd say more so, it's going to be more valuable and important when you've got sessions that are 60 minutes plus, because if you're going in and you're training arms for 30 minutes, half an hour, or sorry, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, the need to maintain your energy levels is going to be lower because the session's not that demanding. I'll personally have 25 grams of carbohydrates, and that equates to around about 100 calories. You can use things like Lucozade, Powerade to allow to have carbohydrates throughout your session, but I typically recommend buying a carbohydrate powder, because what you'll find is it will work out cheaper, and as well as that, it will probably be a bit higher quality if you buy the highly branched cyclic dextrin. It's also a good opportunity to push your calories up, and the reason being is, like I said, it doesn't really require much digestion, and you don't really notice yourself kind of consuming them, if that makes sense. Whereas when your food's already high, it can be hard to fit all your food in throughout the day, especially when you've got, let's say, a longer session. So it's an easy way to get another calorie feeding and another meal in, you could say. And you have different carbohydrate types. So you've got like fructose and you've got glucose. It's shown that when we mix the two together, you'll replenish your glycogen stores at a faster rate. So some intra-workout powders will contain both, like Sustain by Train by JP, which is a really good brand if you're looking for any supplements. Not sponsored by them, but I absolutely wish I was. JP, if you're listening to this, which he definitely won't be, please sponsor me. And yeah, so you can get a carbohydrate powder that mixes both, but that's really getting into the weeds. That's really majoring in the minors, and not that it's wrong to major in the minors, but just make sure you've got every other variable nailed down to the T first. And with like having a carbohydrate powder during this will be very valuable if, let's say, you are kind of training, let's say you're doing multiple training sessions in a day, if you do like a sport alongside weight training, just to ensure you're replenishing your glycogen so you can perform well for whatever sport you also perform if you're doing that after, for example. Also, when we consume carbohydrates, we'll put ourselves in a state where we're not likely to break down as much muscle. Carbohydrates will spike insulin, and insulin will prevent muscle protein breakdown. So that's basically a way to not get as much muscle damage and soreness from your session. So, in terms of what we also want to consider, as I touched on, keeping ourselves in an anabolic position, a good position to build muscle. We can do so by consuming essential amino acids or branched chain amino acids. But ideally, having essential amino acids instead is a bit more optimal, you could say. Not that BCAAs are necessarily useless, but there is better options. And the reason being is, so protein's made up of amino acids. So we get essential amino acids, and then we get branched chain amino acids. Branched chain amino acids are, I think, leucine, isoleucine. I can't quite recall the third. But then you also get the other type, which is essential amino acids. So BCAAs are, yeah, leucine, isoleucine, and valine. And you get basically other amino acids, which are essential amino acids. So basically, branched chain amino acids, that's what we need to stimulate muscle protein synthesis, to spike the muscle protein synthesis response. So basically, put ourselves in a good position to build muscle. However, without essential amino acids, we don't have all the amino acids available to actually build muscle. So a good way to think about it is, it's like You've got like a, let's say you're building a house. You've got, let's say, the manager who's telling everyone to start building the house. They're the branched chain amino acids, basically spike in muscle protein synthesis. But if you've not got all the builders available, all the essential amino acids available, the house isn't going to get built. If you've not got, or another way to look at it is maybe you've got all the workers available, ready to build the house, meaning you've spiked muscle protein synthesis, but you don't have any of the bricks available. The house isn't going to get built. The bricks being the essential amino acids. So we want all the amino acids available to basically spike muscle protein synthesis and allow us to have all the protein available to build muscle and put you in a good position to do so. And that's why BCAAs are maybe referred useless by some people. And but I still think if you're having BCAAs, they'll still spike muscle protein synthesis, so it'll still be better than maybe not having anything at all. And these are going to be more beneficial again for longer serve sessions when you're going a very long time without having any food or without eating. And the reason being is it allows you to get another protein feeding in when you obviously are going a long time without a protein feeding because of the length of your session. And the benefit of having essential amino acids or BCAAs is because if we consume, let's say, a bit of chicken throughout the session, again, that's going to sit in our stomach, that's going to pull blood away from our the muscles we're trying to train and impede performance. Whereas essential amino acids, they're already basically broken down more than, let's say, whey protein concentrate, which is a benefit of consuming them. And as for if we should like eat food during our session, not really, because of what I've mentioned, it will pull blood into the stomach, it will pull water into the stomach and cause us to potentially perform poor and maybe give us digestive distress. The reason being is when we are in a fight or flight state, when we're training, when we're in that amped up state to build, when we're trying to perform well, we don't digest food very well, which is why some people can sometimes be sick during training when they're in that fight or flight state or stress state, because their body's not wanting to digest food. Your body's, and a good way to look at it is like a survival mechanism. When you are, let's say you're running from a tiger in the wild or whatever other kind of threat you've got there, your body's not wanting to kind of digest its breakfast. Your body's main goal in that state, in that position, is going to be running away from whatever animal's trying to kill you back in the day, or whatever other creature or human is trying to attack you, if that makes sense. So it doesn't want to digest food, so digestion will come to a halt when we're in that fight or flight state, which is why it's important to make sure you're in a relaxed state when you're eating your meals. And in terms of like even things like people have like Haribos or stuff like that throughout their session, yes, that might not cause as much digestive distress, but I still think it's good practice having something that will impede digestion less. It just makes sense on paper. And like if you're buying Haribos anyway, like why not buy something that's going to be higher quality? Obviously, Haribos might taste nicer, but again, what are you after? Are you after something that tastes nice, or are you after good performance? And you've got some other supplements you can consider, like things like glycerol. You've got like PicO2. Glycerol will be a supplement that is helping in terms of like blood flow and performance, and helping nutrient delivery to the target muscles. And things like PicO2 is shown to improve power output and help a believe yeah help power output and performance when taken consistently. So there are other supplements you can consider, but that's then really, really getting into the weeds. If you want to start with having like an intra-workout drink, the place I'd start would be having like a liter to a liter and a half of water, 25 grams of carbs, and having essential amino acids. What I'll actually do is I won't consume my amino acids and drink them steadily throughout the session. The reason being is when we spike muscle protein synthesis, if we just kind of gradually drip feed ourselves protein all day, we will actually have like a blunting effect. And the reason being is muscle protein synthesis needs to go back down to baseline to then be spiked again. So if we're just drip feeding ourselves protein throughout the day, we won't have as much of an anabolic response to when we then consume protein. So you want to allow 2 hours, 2.5 hours in between protein feedings, which is why I'll consume mine 2 hours after my pre-workout meal, and then consume a post-workout meal after my session. And hope the video helped. Any questions or any other topics you'd like covered, let me know. If you did enjoy it, share it on your story. Any story tags are massively appreciated, and be sure to show some support in the podcast if you can through liking, subscribing, or leaving a rating or a review. It costs nothing and helps a lot boost the podcast up and gives me more incentive to create more episodes for yourselves. Hope everyone has a great rest of their day, and thank you very much for listening.